I feel like things go a lot better in the world when people don't take themselves too seriously, or, you know, we can achieve a lot more and make the world a better place if people, you know, value fun and joy and not, you know, like business and money and things like that so much.
My name is Ashanti and welcome to Taking Off the Mask podcast. We are here on location at South by Southwest EDU and we're super excited that today's face-to-face episode is actually with Wenceslao and with Ryan. So I'm going to let them tell you about what they talked about and we hope that you will enjoy today's episode.
Yeah, me and Ryan had a face-to-face podcast. I've known Ryan for about 2 or 3 years now. I'm pretty sure I first met him as well at South by Southwest 2 years ago, and yeah, we're here back again, so we're still connecting with each other, and yeah,
it's great to be back at South by Southwest, bigger than ever this year with over 4 clubs, and yeah, I remember talking with Wenceslao about how much I see myself in him, and how much I want to be able to just follow my instincts more and just speak more freely instead of always thinking, you know, 2-3 lines ahead of what I'm trying to say and letting all the words get all fumbled around. And then what was the other thing that we were talking about with video that you were saying?
Yeah, so in this episode, me and Ryan talk about the authenticity about recording moments in the club and recording as well memories. And we talk about the importance of videography and the two faces.
Exactly. No more to say.
Well, enjoy today's episode. Thank you so much. I'm so excited you all are here. And we have about eight young men here with us from Ever Forward Club. And so look, you're going to hear about these masks publicly, and you're going to see hundreds of masks we're going to collect here at South by Southwest. But please know that you don't have to do yours publicly. You can share your mask at millionmask.org anonymously, and we hope that you'll be a part of the journey with us. Join the thousands and thousands of people who are joining this movement each week, each month, and we hope you will be one of them too. Tell a friend about it. Enjoy today's episode. Bye now.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode. I'm your host, Wenceslao Soto, and today I'm here with...
Hi, I'm Ryan Louie, and I've known Wenceslao probably since 2021 or 2022, and we know each other through the Ever Forward Club, which sponsors this podcast. I'm a filmmaker, and I film a lot of the Ever Forward Club events and functions and edit videos for them, and so... Yeah, I've gotten to know Wenceslao on trips with the Ever Forward Club and just through sharing my love of film and sound and audio and things like that with him.
Thank you for being here.
Yeah, thank you. And I hope they can hear how much we know each other over their headphones.
Brian, so what we're going to do today is do the mask first, and then we'll be doing card games. And I have some questions for you at the end.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, so let's start with the mask. And for the people who don't know, this mask activity is where you draw the front of the mask. You write some qualities about yourself that you let people see. And the back of the mask is you write some qualities that you don't let people see. So Ryan, we'll take some few minutes to do our mask.
Are you going to draw a mask too?
Yeah.
Okay. For people who don't know, I help with the podcast, so sometimes I see Wenceslao's episodes, and then sometimes he draws a mask, sometimes he doesn't, but I think I need to draw the mask to just figure out what words I'm going to say, too. All right, I'm on the back now. Where are you?
I'm also doing my back right now.
Okay.
All right. So how do you want to do it? You want me to start? You want to start?
I kind of want to do something that I think would be pretty cool for the show in general. I think it'd be cool if we both just like show both sides, or you show your front and back first, so that you can kind of see how they're related more, and then I'll show my front and back second.
All right.
Yeah.
I'll go first. So I was trying to draw like Santa Claus here and like Jack and like. And I put on the front side, I put funny, engaging, and responsible. I think that I could proudly show and own those qualities. In the back of the mask, I put shy, because it's like most of the time I'm really shy. It takes a while for me to be more communicative with other people. And mm-hmm. I put soft, because I'm a really sentimental guy who can get hurt by small things.
Yeah, I could relate to that. Like, it's like I had this conversation once with like my sister-in-law too, where you feel like you're kind of reading into this moment more mm-hmm. when you're sentimental and feel like this is maybe like some hangout or some dinner or whatever is supposed to like mean more than what it actually does to other people. Or, other people might be a little bit not as sentimental, and it kind of frees them up because they don't take it so seriously, and whatever this is just something that's going to pass. But then I tend to be the person who like you thinks of like some higher meaning or some sentimental meaning to something that that people don't really know that I'm feeling that way. And people don't know that they're like hurting me if they're not like treating it with as much respect or whatever. And then also The Nightmare Before Christmas. You like that movie?
Yeah, it's a pretty good movie, and it just came into my head. I was watching it earlier.
I remember being scared of that movie when I was a little kid. Yeah, Yeah. How old were you when you were afraid of it?
I was like 6, 7.
Yeah. It reminds me of this one time in particular where I was probably like 6 and we had lunch at this place called Planet Hollywood. It used to be this restaurant with movies playing while you eat. And I was with like my whole family. And they had The Nightmare Before Christmas on, and the screens were like as big as the walls, and it just scared me. And I think we had to leave the lunch because I was too scared of it. Time to see it again, though. I don't really remember it that well. Okay, I guess it's my turn.
Yep.
Okay. All right. So I kind of drew this like. I don't know who this guy is, but he's just like, he's got this like relaxed face on kind of careless, like chill eyes. And then I put easygoing, agreeable, and fun-loving. I think like for whatever reason, it's just like whatever was valued in my family it's important to like maintain the peace or like maintain like this image of like calm and that everything's fine. And that, that whatever is wrong isn't actually that big of a deal, or whatever is like disrupting the herd or the family. We could like laugh our way or smile our way past it, So I think that's why I come I project easygoing. Agreeable is like kind of the same thing. Like you tend to agree with people to avoid discomfort, or I tend to agree with people to avoid like potential conflict. And then fun loving, I think it's it also kind of comes down to like not taking things too seriously. But also I like to have fun. Like I feel like things go a lot better in the world when people don't take themselves too seriously, or you know, we can achieve a lot more and make the world a better place if people, you know, value fun and joy and not, you know, like business and money and things like that so much. So it's kind of my front: easygoing, agreeable, fun loving. And then the back is like a desire to impress. So kind of that like capitalistic business side still creeps in. I'm more opinionated than like what I lit on with my agreeableness. And then I put friendship. I think like definitely as you get older, and you've talked about this too, you kind of grow apart from friends. And you, especially in America, you start kind of like, you know, you get married or whatever and you focus on your relationship. And you're like small family, and just the opportunities for friendship don't come as naturally when you're not in school and things like that anymore. But I do have this desire for more adult friendship, but it's hard. It's kind of weird to express yourself like that, you know. It's almost like a different form of like dating or like asking someone out, you know, asking like another adult to be friends with you. And then it's also hard to make like a really good friend if you're just agreeable all the time too, because it doesn't really feel like a real friendship or like, you know, a real,
like real bonding.
Yeah. You have to kind of expose your true thoughts and your opinions more than maybe I'm comfortable with. So yeah, that's the front and the back of my mask.
Thank you for sharing.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you too.
So now what we'll be doing is the card game, and we'll be answering some few questions.
Okay, so right on.
Would you like me to start, or do you want? I'll start.
Yeah. Okay. So you got the question cards, and you just pick randomly.
Yeah, on they're face down in front of me, so I just
okay.
Put
them in the middle. Okay. Cool.
Mine says, "What is a hidden talent that you want to work on more?"
Better not be something I already know.
Being more organized and being more organized, like with myself, and then being more organized with other things like school, work, school, and then also like organized like my room. It's pretty messy. But I think I've been working on it a bit more. I've been on task on school because I have all my homework organized, like having like sort of like a planner, knowing what work I need to do. And it also helps me a lot, like concentrate and then be more relaxed. So probably that.
So you feel like you're good at it, but you just don't do it.
I just don't do it more frequently and then use it a lot more with other things that I could use it.
Yeah. Why do you think you're good at it? Like what is it about you that makes you organized?
Well, I'm organized in like my own way. Like for me, like some other people like might not see it organized, but for me, it helps me a lot more. I just like having things like to help me concentrate.
Yeah. Yeah. Because if you don't, like You might get distracted with something else.
Yeah, it's hard for me to be on task.
Well, that's good. Yeah, I don't think I have to manage as much as you. Like high school, just think about like the schedules I used to have back in high school. It would start at like 8 a.m. and go till like 8 p.m. Like, there's no way I'd be able to do that anymore.
My schedule in high school is a bit more easier than it was in middle school. So like here I got three periods. No, I got all six periods, but they're just like Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. I got from 1 to 6, and Tuesday and Thursday is from 6 to 1. Six period to first period. So I just 2 days reversed. But like in middle school, there was like a lot more classes. Like in high school, I just have 7, but I think in middle school, it was 9 classes. And then they're all mixed up, like, every day. So yeah. It was, like, a bit more harder to, like, know.
Anticipate, like, oh, this is, I should do this 2 days ahead of time.
Yeah.
Because I have, yeah. And then on the clubs, and, oh, but I have this club this night, so.
So I got to have that ready.
Yeah. And then sometimes it's like, well, I can't really, there's nothing I can do about it. And so I'll just have to like work till midnight or something. And there's like no choice. And yeah. I just feel like I have a lower tolerance for that now than maybe I used to in high school and just how much energy we all used to have. So yeah, I would not go back in time.
So I got 6 cards in front of me facing down. Pick a number between 1 and 6.
5.
This one says, what is the worst phone call you have ever received?
Oh, man. I think what makes me think about in general is like when I went to college, I had a high school girlfriend and went to college and we decided to stay together and do long distance and all that. And I didn't, but my mom, I remember my mom advised me like, oh, you shouldn't like have a relationship just in college. You know, I was in Southern California. She was in Northern California. And yeah, I think she was right. I just feel like when you talk about phone calls and long phone calls and like emotional phone calls, yeah, it just made me think of that time at the beginning of college, and we did end up breaking up. But I guess it was, part of it was like this fear that like, I don't know, we would break up and then I'd never meet anyone again or meet anyone that would, you know, want to be my boyfriend ever again, you know? And so there are just like a handful of conversations like from that time that question made me think about. I can't necessarily pull one out of that, but I guess it just kind of, you know, stemmed from like this pressure to like cling on to like someone that loves you with the fear of like letting go, even though it made sense to let go.
Yeah.
At that time. Yeah.
I got like, sometimes like when I was always, when I would think like in the past, like my relationships, sometimes I would ask like myself, does it hurt more to leave somebody or to be left? You know? Because like for me, my past relationships, they broke up with me, right? But, you know, I've been also thinking that sometimes, like, I hurt people without wanting to. And I always apologize, and I was like, think that isn't enough, like, apology. Right? So I would just think, like, would it hurt more me to leave somebody knowing that it's the best because, like, I don't want to hurt them anymore? Or, like, for me or for somebody to leave me?
Do you feel like it's, like, you aren't leaving them, but there's the, but like your body language or the way you're behaving is kind of like influencing them to leave you.
It's like you want to be with them, like you love them, but it's just like sometimes like you might be in their way or bringing them down, you know. It's like you aren't really much hope to them.
Whoa, yeah. Yeah. Is that the same as like when someone would break up with you, or is that different than with someone?
The problems you have, they also got to face it with you, and that's what you don't want. Like, I wouldn't want that.
Yeah.
For me to face my own problems and without having them to face it with me instead of
alone.
Yeah. So that's why, that's a reason why I would leave that relationship, because I don't want them to.
So there's like two different things, I guess. Like, there are the situations where you leave someone, and then there's a situation where someone leaves you. But
yeah, I was like, I'd always wonder which one would hurt more.
Yeah, yeah. And when you leave someone, it's almost like you actually have something hard on the horizon, but you don't want to bring them with you.
Yeah.
But then that also makes it hurt even more, because now you're facing it on your own. And yeah, that's a lot of pressure.
Let's do one more card and share a project that you've recently started.
Project I've recently started. You know, there's something like that I'll go into that I'm excited for. We haven't really started it yet, but it's this idea that I'm looking forward to in the next year. And so, yeah, like, as you know, I work with video and film and things like that. So I think the one thing I'm excited for is this one organization I work with, Big Brothers, Big Sisters. And we have this idea of, we usually create a video about a big brother and a little brother and their relationship, and then it helps them, you know, raise money at their fundraiser. Like, oh, this is the big brother and little brother of the year. But I want to do something with them where it's like a longer, more documentary piece. That's like, you know, maybe 25 minutes or longer. And instead of just like focusing on like usually the big brother and little brother, the little brother is usually like your age or younger. And then the big brother is, you know, in their like 40s or 50s. And so it's like a teen and then, you know, an adult. But one thing that's really cool is that Big Brothers and Big Sisters is like a really old organization. So, and there are some relationships where now the big brother is like 65 and then like, you know, the little brother is like 45 or something. And then so they've had a relationship for, you know, 30 years, and it starts when they were a little kid, and it's gone on like, and they've basically experienced an entire lifetime together. And so, yeah, we have this idea of like kind of focusing on these longer relationships and interviewing them and, you know, going through 30 years of memories and friendship. And it's something a lot of people don't necessarily have. And something that I would really appreciate. And like I said, with the back of my mask, like I'm looking more for like adult friendship and things like that. So. Yeah, I'm excited to see what that happens like in this coming year.
So before we move on to the questions, let me read a quick poem about love.
Ah, okay. That's why you are, yeah.
When you love, you should not say God is in my heart, but rather I am the heart of God. And think not you can direct the course of love. The love, if it finds you worthy, directs your course. Love has no other desire but to fulfill itself. But if you love and must needs have desires, let these be your desires, to melt and be like a running brook that sings its melody to the night, to know the pain of too much tenderness, to be wounded from your own understanding of love, and to bleed willingly and joyfully, to wake at dawn with a winged heart and give thanks for another day of loving, to rest at noon hour and meditate love's ecstasy, to return home and at eventide with gratitude, and then to sleep with a prayer for the beloved in your heart and the song of praise upon your lips. So that was like the ending of the poem, but like that, so that part of the poem says to me is that love can fulfill your desires, like it says, and then you could, when you have like a problem and you're in love, you could seek for that love to boost or help you conquer that problem.
Yeah, what stuck out to me is like the level of fearlessness required to love. You know, like you can't be afraid to express your fears and express your problems, because there's a level of trust in love that without it wouldn't be love. And then, you know, the flip side to the problems is, it's kind of at the beginning. I forgot exactly what it said, but it just made me think about how love can bring out your inner child and bring out your spontaneity and your freedom to act without thinking or without premeditating anything, and just be, and, you know, be ready to embarrass yourself and act silly and act goofy and just you know, like live without a care in the world and live without any intentions or agenda to be perceived a certain way, to impress in a certain way.
I feel that when you are in a relationship, he had like two perspective or like two or like an extra help with something, right? Somebody you could seek out for anything, right? But like when you're alone, you got to have a lot of self-knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel that love can also help you work with others, I think.
Yeah, and then I think like there's a... definitely been thinking about a lot about relationships recently. I won't say who, but I know someone who went through a divorce recently. And then you think about, love, and when there was love, when love existed, when it didn't exist, and what paths and life events have caused them to like either be in love or be out of love. Because I think sometimes people say, oh, I love you, but I don't like you. But I don't think, I think you, that's kind of true, but it's not true, because you, when you're missing those moments where you can share your problems without fear and act spontaneously without fear, you need to like the other person. And I don't think they did for a long time. And then like, people bring out certain parts in you when you're with another counterpart. And so like, if that counterpart brings out the right parts in you, then you can lead your life in such a direction where, you know, if you were with one person, you could go down this path and become this type of person, and then all it takes is just being with someone else, and you wouldn't recognize yourself. You know, if you were able to see yourself in this alternate universe, with surrounded by different people or in a different relationship, it would bring out completely different parts of you. But all those parts are in us. It's just a matter of who's there bringing out what.
Let's go a bit off the topic about love. And
it's the holidays. You can't. It's hard to stay away from it.
Yeah.
The romantics. Yeah. Okay. What do you got?
So my first question is, can you like say how you got involved with the Everflow Club? How you became the filmmaker?
Yeah, I got involved in the Everflow Club in 2020 March. It was a pretty crazy story because on Monday, mid-March, was when the Bay Area shut down because of the pandemic. So that was Monday, but the upcoming Thursday, there was this event that I always would film and shoot. And Ashanti, who's the founder of the Everflow Club, was one of the guest speakers for that event. And so we had to figure out whether or not we were even going to have the event. And I basically had to learn like how to live stream and was just like buying random equipment at Best Buy between Monday and Thursday. And then we were able to pull it off. And if we weren't able to pull it off, or if we decided not to do it, I wouldn't have met Ashanti at that time. And so I met him then, and then he gave me his information and told me all the different things he's interested in. And yeah, it was a good fit because the event was similar to the work he does. And then I also used to be a teacher, and so I have an education background. And so there's a lot in common.
So my next question is, how do you believe your work as a filmmaker contributes to the goals and mission of the club?
I think like with every project I look at it, like I try to look at it from a fair third party perspective, or at least from a perspective that doesn't really think about, I try not to think about it in terms of like, oh, how's this person going to react, or this type of person going to react. I just think like, what's just like my gut feeling about something I'm making for the club. Like it's all like documentary, basically, like documenting like what is happening in front of you. So it's not, you're not necessarily controlling what you're filming, but you are kind of responsible for how you look at, how you interpret something. So I think I just try to interpret it in a way that like represents the people and the subjects I'm filming in a way that captures like whatever's authentic to their humanity, whatever it is about them that I truly find interesting. And I don't try to fit a square peg in a round hole.
Yeah.
And so I hope like the final product shows someone in a way that's in alignment with however they're authentically presenting themselves, or whatever is authentic to their core. And so, yeah, I think like in that way, like it's just a matter of like a BS detector. It was one of my like teachers, kind of use that as a way to think of it. You know, you don't want to make BS. You want to make something that's like true to them. And everyone who watches something has a BS detector that either goes off or it doesn't go off. And so, yeah, I try to make stuff that people don't think is BS, I guess. And in truth, it hopefully helps like with how people perceive the Everflow Club.
My next question is, how has being the filmmaker for the club influenced your personal growth and development?
I think like before like the club does a lot of stuff with like men's work and emotional masks and relationships and friendships. I guess I never really, I think the mask is the biggest thing I think about when you asked that question. Like, I never really thought of it on that level, that we are all kind of deceiving others with our masks, or that we all have like this true core behind it all, that whatever is on the back of the mask is actually influencing the front. And so I think more about that. I think more about like why I behave a certain way in front of certain people, and why I behave a certain way in front of other people. And what is it about like my true core that makes me do that? So I never really thought about those things until I started working with the Everforward Club. And I think, yeah, I never really thought too much about those things when I was a teacher either. And I think I would have been a better teacher if I had thought about those things. What about you? How's Everforward Club shifted your mindset? Or what were you like before and after?
Before, I was less stressful. But I was...
You were less stressful before?
Yeah. I was more shy. And I was like always hard to make like a conversation with somebody. And it still kind of is. And then just also learning more about the male this aspect, because I grew up without a male model, I guess you can say.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just like knowing more how I relate, not relate, but yeah, how I connect and relate with others around me, and just having more and speaking up more.
Yeah. Yeah. So you were less stressed before because you kind of stayed within your comfort zone.
Yeah. I was like never open to new opportunities, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, like when an opportunity is given to me or offered to me, I would take it now and use it, I guess.
Yeah. And it's usually a little bit of a stretch each time.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, something that felt like a stretch a year or two ago, now you're comfortable with it. And something that feels like a stretch right now, and in a few years that it'll just be like, you know, not a big deal to you anymore.
Yeah.
But it's hard to, unless you do it on purpose, it's hard to like look back and think about where you were, where you used to be, and where you are now. Because we're so like driven by whatever's happening to us right now, and whatever fears are in our head right now, it's hard to remember like what you used to be like.
Yeah.
A lot of times. So yeah, I think about that a lot too, with like my first like film job ever, you know, and how nervous I was with that, and then how it shifts over time with like, yeah, what you're trying, or what felt complex then versus now.
So my last few questions is there a specific video or project that stands out as meaningful to you?
Probably something I want to start doing more of, and hopefully, and I think this will help, or this has helped and it will help in the future, is like giving myself more opportunities to do longer form stuff. You know, like a lot of advertisements or promotional stuff is usually like a minute or 2 minutes or, you know, five or whatever. But and that's kind of like where you get paid, you know, but I really want to expand and then do longer form stuff, you know, 25 stuff or even an hour and a half, like a feature length. And so like, right now I do have one documentary short that's about 25 minutes that I am proud of. And it was in the Oakland Film Festival, and things like that. And it's called I See No One But Me, and it's based off of that speaking event that I met Ashanti at. It was with that organization.
Is that like your goal, like having more making more projects with more people that stands out and is being viewed by a lot more people and knowing your work?
Yeah, I think just making something that like that, where it's not necessarily selling you anything or advertising anything. It's actually just a story. It's, you know, entertaining for people, and it's moving, and it's just a story that exists on its level, and, you know, makes you think about your life, or makes you think about something, you know, has some sort of access point to keep somebody watching. And it's, you know, it's not an advertisement, it's not like something to help raise money and all that, which is good, like, especially when it's for the right place. But yeah, I just want to make more stuff where it just feels like it's art for the sake of art, and not necessarily like participating in like some economy or whatever. And so, yeah, that's kind of one intention I'm bringing into next year. And I think that one did a pretty good job, and I think it'll help with my resume or whatever and applying for future stuff to be able to just do that.
Yeah, I had more questions, but I just think that was the last one. My last question was going to be, what was your goal?
Oh, okay. Yeah, that covers that. Yeah. Well, how about you? What are some of your goals since it's almost Christmas and it's almost New Year's? Like, what are some things you're thinking about for the next year? Or even longer than that, you know, some bigger goals or visions?
Well, next year I'll be ending sophomore and going to junior. Probably just having or attempting to reach my goal, my dream, right? The job that I would like to have. And then going to a college and university that I would like to go that supports me to getting that job. And starting first is doing good in school, doing well with all my classes, and also keeping up with work that I do outside from school as well, this club, and then as well with other programs I'm in and academic stuff.
Hey, what have you like learned from doing a podcast, or what have you learned about yourself? You can go wherever you want with that. Yeah,
being more prepared and being able to adapt and change throughout the process. Because like my first podcast was like it's a lot more different than the most recent one, right? And it was because of a lot of learning, right? Knowing what to change, what to do different, also being more prepared, like having good questions, right? Trying to make good questions, and also trying to think of possibly new ways I could incorporate things.
Yeah. 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 Just having a perspective going into it.
Yeah.
You know, like you said, with being prepared, like making sure you have a voice as the host to push it where you think is best. Instead of just kind of going in and seeing what happens.
Yeah.
And then I think that like also just like coming from making mistakes or just feeling like, oh, this isn't working, and having that uncomfortable feeling and wanting to like prevent that from happening next time.
Yeah.
Through preparation. It's very cool. Like, yeah, you wouldn't have never evolved if you haven't had those bad moments, those mistakes, or those awkward moments, because you wouldn't have felt that uncomfortable or that awkward in a bad podcast situation. But like all those moments help you, you know, correct and get you up to a new level for the next time. And so, yeah, I really like that you've been pretty fearless, you know, kind of like the fearlessness that we talked about with falling in love and all that. Because if you never do that, then I don't know. God only knows where you'd be right now, in 2023, in a different universe where you never did join the club or whatever.
Yeah. Do you have any other questions or something you want to talk about? Huh?
No, I don't think so. Do you have a one New Year's resolution?
Working out more and being more healthy.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's healthy good. Physically and mentally, emotionally.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is it okay if I end out with a self-knowledge poem?
Yeah, let's end out. Let's finish with that.
It says, the hidden wellspring of your soul must needs rise and run murmuring to the sea, and the treasure of your infinite depths will be revealed to your eyes. But let there be no scales to weigh your unknown treasure, and seek not the depths of your knowledge with staff and sounding line, for self is a sea boundless and measureless. Say not, I have found a truth, but rather I have found a truth. Say not, I have found the path of the soul, but rather I have met the soul walking upon my path. For the soul walks upon all paths, the soul walks not upon a line, neither does it grow like a reed. The soul unfolds itself like a lotus on countless petals.
Yeah. Do you have any thoughts on that?
I'm just saying, well, I like the part where it says, I have found the truth. Don't say, I found the truth, but rather, I found a truth. It's like saying that when you learn something, you haven't fully mastered it or fully experienced it, but rather you have learned something new, and then you can learn a lot more through the path, your own path, your own experiences.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought about this. Yeah, your idea of like a path and being open to a path that you might not have thought was the one. But, you know, you might have all these like preconceived notions about something, but those are meant to be broken. And a lot of times it might just like hit your gut, and you just gotta, your gut is just informed by, you know, for me, 31 years of life experiences, for you, 16 years.
Yeah, 16.
Oh, but yeah, like, and sometimes we find a way to like think our way out of it, when really like whatever your soul is telling you, like you might actually know right away. And so, yeah, I thought about this show called The Bear. It's about like a cook in Chicago. It's a really good TV show, and they just have this quote, or just this inspiring letter from his brother that died, and all it says on the letter is "Let it rip." And I think like that's kind of part of my New Year's resolution, is just to like let it rip more, and not, you know, hide my opinion more, or not hide my opinion as much, or be so agreeable, but whatever is like true to me, just let it rip.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the last thing about the 31 years and the 15 years thing is like, I heard this story about like, say someone who was designing a logo for like a company, or someone who's just, you know, painting, you know, a beautiful work of art. It may have taken that painter, you know, 3 hours to make the painting or whatever. Obviously, it could take a lot longer. But I think, like, it's important to have that perspective that, like, it didn't actually take 3 hours to paint that. You know, like, this person is, say, a 55-year-old painter. It actually took 55 years to make that painting, you know? It's taking his whole life experience, and then if in those 3 hours, you know, you got to plan, like what you're saying. You got to prepare. But then when it comes down to that moment, sometimes you just got to, like, let it rip and, you know, listen to whatever soul is walking on your path at that moment.
Yeah.
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 Ah, yeah.
Thank you for being here today, Ryan.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
The Taking Off the Mask podcast is produced by Ryan Louie and graphics by Kelly Wong. Guests are managed by Dan Paloma, and the podcast is edited by Samuel Matingo. We'd like to thank everyone who's been a part of the creation of this podcast, and for every guest that's been a part of the show, you are now a part of the Taking Off the Mask family. The Taking Off the Mask podcast is brought to you by the Ever Forward Club, and if you like what you've heard today, please subscribe, write a 5-star review, and share this with someone. We look forward to having more conversations that matter, and please remember, there is more to you than anybody can see by just looking at you.